Today's talk is Manage Your Energy Levels, Going from Fatigued to Fantastic. And our speaker today, excuse me. I'm so sorry. What an intro. I have hay fever. I apologize. So our speaker today is Usha. Usha's joining us from Leicester, sunny Leicester, the Midlands. She's a data analyst by profession, a single full-time working mother, and is very dedicated in keeping. I apologize. In keeping a work-life balance, it's so easy when you work full-time to get overwhelmed with the amount of work that lands on your plate. Like, taking care of a family on your own is also quite something. And so we've asked Usha to share her strategies on how to invest energy wisely, how to protect yourself from energy drainers. It may be tasks. It may be, I think most of us have one person in our life who, when we talk to, when we finish talking to them, we feel tired. So, how to deal with energy drainers, how to increase energy capacity, and stay energized through the day and not have a mid-afternoon low, so to speak. So, Usha's going to be sharing with us. She'll be doing a short meditation afterwards, and then we will be taking the questions you send, and we will be putting them to Usha. So over to you, Usha. Thank you for
Thank
joining.
you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you for that lovely intro, Ardivan. Thank you. Good evening and welcome. As you can, as you've been told, my name's Usha and I'm the speaker for today. Just to give you about the background I'm going to be talking about, I do have a PowerPoint which I'm going to put up for you right now. If you have any questions, do put them on the chat, like Ardivan said. I'm just going to put this up. I hope you can all see this PowerPoint.
Yep, can see it.
You can see it, yeah? Okay, thank you very much. Okay. What I'd like to do is actually cover three aspects of this talk tonight. The first one's going to be mental energy, the physical energy, and the emotional energy. As soon as we actually mention the word energy, we automatically go to the word physical. We always talk about our physical energy. We're always tired. Why are we tired? We never actually look at why we are tired. We always look at, I'm just tired because my legs hurt or anything like that, or I've just had a bad day at work and I just like feel exhausted. But what is causing that exhaustion? And this is something we're going to be exploring today. Now, I'm going to run through this with you. Now, the first one I'm going to go ahead with is the mental energy. Now, if I just go there, here we are. I just want to run through this list of these are just a few of the things I've actually picked out that actually helps us to, well, depletes our energy. But having said this, I'm sure there's loads and loads more that you can probably add to this list. But I'm just going to go through these ones here. The first one I'm going to seek is seeking approval and praise from others. But before I do that, there is one question that I really, really do want to ask all of you. And if you want to quickly put in a chat, if you don't mind, what you think the answer is. If I was to ask you, do we have freedom? Do we, when we say, do we have freedom, do we have freedom? If someone was to ask you this question, do you have freedom? What do you think your answer would be? Would anyone like to just quickly put something in the chat? Just have a guess what the answer is going to be? No? Okay. Freedom, when we're talking about freedom, well, okay, there's the chat. Okay. So do we know what, if I was to ask you what freedom means to you, what is it? What does freedom mean? Do you have freedom? You do. Okay. So what is your freedom? You decide. Okay. I decide. Okay. Sheila, Reed, can you slightly expand on what your I decide means? Okay. Right. Let's carry on then in that case, having time. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. In reality, when someone says to you, do you have freedom? We normally say, no, I don't. I don't have freedom because I'm always constantly looking after my family. I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about my responsibilities. And yes, that's the kind of thing you kind of say to me, I don't have freedom because these are the kind of responsibilities I have. In reality, each one of us has freedom. And we have the freedom to speak and think as we do, right? Okay, Sheila, you put down, no matter what the others say or do, it is in my power. Okay, that is completely right. But though everyone has one freedom, and that is the freedom to speak and think. Do you agree? Okay, because that is one of the freedoms that you have. And because of that freedom that we have, we don't tend to use it correctly. When we speak to someone, you know, we have the power to speak to someone softly, speak and sweetly, but do we do it? No, we don't. Even with our thinking, do we use our thinking in the correct manner? No, we don't. In reality, we don't. We're not using the power that we have within regards to our speaking and our thinking. If you think about it, how many thoughts do we have in a day? We have about 40 to 50,000 thoughts a day, which is what, 20, 25 a minute. Now, if we were to go to this list, seeking approval and praise from others, you know, this is one of the biggest things that, you know, we tend to fall behind on them. You know, you're not happy because even at work, this is me as well. When I was working that, you know, when you do something and you've done it well and you've given it 100%, and you're actually waiting for your manager to come back to you and say, do you know what, Usha, you've done a good job. But sometimes when they don't say that, how do you feel? I actually used to feel really sad that, you know, I spent my time working overtime, you know, coming into work on weekends. I'm doing this just to meet the deadlines. And at the end of it, I don't even get a thank you from my manager or even just a little like incentive just to say, look, you deserve this. But, you know, why am I doing this in reality? So how does that make you feel? Oh, this is one of the biggest thing that we tend to fall on as well, is because we're always seeking approval from others and praise from others. In reality, we don't really need that praise and approval, because if we were full, then we wouldn't need it. The other thing that tends to let us down ourselves as well, that depletes our energy, which I found as well, is that we're constantly thinking about the past. It could be anything that can happen in the past. I'll give an example that happened to me going back. I'm talking about a long, long time ago. Well, a little while back. I'm not going to say a long time, but this was when I was at college and I was in 17 and I was 17, 18 years old. And I had a friend, I befriended a friend, and we came very close. And she was just a girl and we became close friends, more like sisters. And all of a sudden through our friendship, I found that she started changing. And in a nasty way, to be honest. And I didn't really understand why this was happening. And it turned out to be, she actually started becoming a bully towards me. Even then, I didn't know what was going on. But as much as she was giving me all this bullyish tactics, I kept forgiving her. But I still didn't understand the bullying behind it. And this went on for like a few years. And I still didn't understand. And then it came to a point where I just had enough, to be honest. And I had to let go. And I still, to that time, didn't really understand why that behavior came on board. It's only when I was 20 years later, can you believe it, that I kept thinking, you can imagine that, you know, at that time, what I was going through, that, you know, you've got someone who's constantly bullying you. And it's not a nice feeling that you're going home and you just think it's yourself, who's there's something wrong with you, you know, and the other person's, you know, it's my fault that the other person's doing what they're doing. It's my fault. So you're constantly blaming everything that's happening and your emotions and everything. It's, you think it's your fault. So for like 6-7 months, or like, you know, I was kept thinking about it, you know, what have I done wrong? What did I do wrong? And I kept going over and over and over again, like, what did I do wrong? Because it's not a nice feeling. And even after 20 years, now and then I will still go back to that scenario and I still wouldn't understand, you know, why was it happening? And it came to a situation when I went back home. I moved to Leicester. And then 20 years later, we had a function in Slough, where I originally came from. And I met my friend's mum was there in the same venue. And she saw me, she came over to me and she goes that, you know, it's really nice to see you and everything. And it kind of brought back memories of like what I was going through with her mum being there. And then she said that, my whole family are asking about you, where are you? And I said, look, I'm here now. And she goes, I'm going to give her daughter, which was my friend, I'm going to give her your number because she wants to speak to you. And this is like 20 years later. And I said, I don't think that's a good idea. And she goes, no, she wants to speak to you. And I go, okay, then. And I thought, you know what, I need to put a closure to this now. So she rang me 20 years later. And she was asking me how I was and everything. And even that at that time when she's talking to me, all those emotions and those horrible feelings I was going through, and even like the kind of bit of a depression that I went through at that time, it was all like flooding back. And I had a chat with her, and her answered, well, during our conversation, I said that there's one thing I really want to ask you is that you're speaking to me today, but why were you behaving? I still don't know up to today that why did you do what you did? And she actually said sorry to me and she apologized. She goes, that's why I want to call you. I'm calling you to apologize to you. And I said, okay. And she goes, the reason I did what I did, and I know whatever I did was wrong to you. And it's really because I wanted the life that you had. And I just like, I was absolutely gobsmacked. And I thought, I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, I wanted the life that you had. I came from a background where I had a strict upbringing and I can see that you had a freedom, that your family allowed a bit of freedom for you to like do whatever you wanted to do. And I said, yeah. And I said, is that the only reason that you had to behave like that? And she goes, yes, because I wanted your life. I wanted you, whatever you had. And I said, that is so wrong. I said, as much as you see what I had outside, what I was having, you know, I was happy to share it with you. You could have done it. You know, you could have come with me. And, you know, if I'm going somewhere, you could have come with me. And I said, there's no need for you to behave like that. And she goes, well, that's what I was going through. And I said, so sometimes what I got out of this is that whatever sometimes things happen in your life, you know, it depletes our energy. And we tend to take the blame on ourselves, thinking there's something wrong with us. And you're actually going over and over again and you're churning on it, thinking, you know, it's my fault. There's something wrong with me. In reality, there's nothing wrong with us. It's actually their own insecurities that they're going through, which leads to my next thing, which is our inner critical voice, which is one of the things that is actually our enemy. That actually takes away and destroys our relationships and even ourselves. It destroys ourselves internally and it depletes our energy. And I know that I've done this in the past as well. I'm not saying I'm 100% now, but I've learned throughout my journey while I've been practicing meditation that, you know, how to control that inner critical voice, because it can destroy you. It can actually lead you to a wrong path. And you know, and if you don't take control of what's happening inside, then it's going to lead to depression and it's going to lead to other health issues. And hence the reason the inner critical voice leads to also other depression, which is the biggest thing at the moment, and also mental health. And this is where I say that it's time for us to take control of what's going on internally. And our inner critical voice plays a big major part in our lives and how we see ourselves, what we think about ourselves, and really, in theory, how we talk to ourselves about ourselves. You know, as we're growing older, when we're a child, we're 100% happy, right? You know, there's nothing wrong with us. Everyone loves us because we're children, we're running, we're happy, and everyone wants to cuddle us, carry us, play with us. And as you grow throughout, you know, as you grow up, you're going through adolescence and you're going through your adulthood. And, you know, your mind is thinking, because why? Because you're always influenced by the outside, the external. It could be your friends, you know, whatever they're doing, you're following them. And you think that, you know, whatever they're doing is right. That's because you've lost control. And hence the reason, it's like any situation that comes, you know, is how you deal with it. And it's your inner critical voice that always tends to lead, actually kind of lets you down. And I've been there. And in my journey, I've started changing that, because it does, it's not, it doesn't do any good. And it doesn't make you feel good at all. You get a low self-esteem, your confidence goes. And once you hit rock bottom, to come back up, it takes a long time. And also to accept who you are as well, that sometimes ourselves, we don't accept who we are. And that's where we tend to go wrong. Hence the reason, which leads to my next one, which is called comparing. When we're not happy with ourselves and in our inner critical voice, you will find that we'll start leading our lives, comparing ourselves to everybody around us, our lives. Hence the reason I had that situation when I was 18. It wasn't very, even now when I think about it, it kind of haunts me that, you know, that someone can be like that. But hence the reason it destroyed our relationship, because we were constantly, this individual, even we do it, even I think I could do it, constantly comparing our life, you know, comparing ourselves to others. Sometimes it's also like how someone looks. You know, we're comparing ourselves. It could be the size of us or anything. It could be the color of our hair. It could be anything. We're constantly comparing our houses. I remember when I first bought my house, and it's not that big because it's just me and my daughter. And I had someone who came around my house, and they were looking around my house, and they were saying to me, you know, when I buy a house, I'm going to buy a £1 million house. And you can tell that they were actually, is it because they didn't like my house, or they think it's not good enough, you know, and, you know, that they worth more than me and they want to buy this big £1 million house. And it's happened to me several times that, you know, people come around and they want to compare the sizes of the house. In reality, one thing all I ask for is just a roof over my head, food on my table, and a car. That's all I ask for. I don't want a £1 million mansion or anything like that. But you will find that people will come into your lives that actually will start comparing, or they want something better than you. And you think, well, okay, have whatever you want. You know, I found a couple of people that I've known that in my life where they bought these big houses. And they bought the houses that's gone over their wage that they earn in a month. And then you find that they've got themselves in trouble because they can't keep up with the payments. And I'm just thinking that sometimes they buy houses for the wrong reason. You know, for me, I buy things my own means. If I can afford it, I'll buy it. If I can't, end off. It doesn't really matter. It's not the end of the world. And this is where comparison comes in. Sometimes it's not a good thing because it can land you in a lot of trouble. Which hence takes me to the next one, which is called fear. Now, fear is something that is really, that comes and goes in your life. As soon as you got rid of one fear, you'll find there is another one standing there ready to wait for you, waiting for you. How do you conquer fear? I'll give an example. When I got divorced, I've never been on my own, and I had a daughter. Now, my biggest fear is I have to bring up my daughter on my own, and how am I going to do it? That was my biggest fear. And the secondly was, I bought a house and I'm on my own, a single parent. Am I going to be able to give my daughter everything that she wants? Hence, keep a roof over our heads, keep myself in a job. Because when you have, when you're married, you've always got someone else to fall back on, but I don't. It was just me. And that was my biggest fear at that point, is that how do I keep on going? And I overcame this because, one, I was working on my inner critical voice at that time. Secondly, I kept thinking about where I want to be and what I want out of life. And this is where I was working on my critical inner voice, because I kept thinking about where I want to be. And, you know, this is on me, and I've got to have faith in myself and that I can actually do it. So I was trying to override this critical inner voice by saying to myself that whatever is happening to me, I can deal with it, because I have the capacity inside me to do it, and there's nothing for me to fear. And as I went along, that I found that it got easier and easier, that fear start becoming less and less and less. And I wasn't afraid to be on my own. And I found that, you know, it's making me a stronger person. Secondly, I was making me a lot more independent, which I loved. It made me a strong person. And I thought, right, you know what? If I can do this, and I'm going to do it, and I'm going to prove myself. And my family at that time were worried about me, because I thought I was on my own, my family all in London, and I'm here on my own with my daughter. Am I going to be okay? They had that fear. And I said that, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep on doing this. And I kept finding my inner critical voice that I kept overriding all the negative thoughts I was having, saying, no, I'm going to do this because I've got faith in myself. Hence, the reason it takes me to the next one, which is gossip. Now, this is another thing that we actually have a habit of doing, is gossiping. Okay? There was a time, who doesn't gossip every day? Yeah? You're always going to get the office gossip, right? We've all been there. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. Sometimes you don't want to listen to it because it only drains your energy. And I noticed that when I was at work, it came to a point where I wasn't even part of it. And my manager at one point said to me that, I've noticed that you don't seem to join in with our conversation sometimes. And I'm just thinking, and I just kept thinking in my mind, that's because I think it's just rubbish. You just talk about rubbish things. And I said, it's not doing me any good, you know, and you like getting a kick out of this gossiping. And, you know, have you noticed what gossip does and how damaging it is to somebody, that you're actually talking about something, somebody, but do you know what? You could be talking about that person, but whatever comes around goes around, and some next time somebody's going to be talking about you. And I found that I wasn't really participating in the conversation. So I was asked this question that, why are you not joining in? I said, because I don't want to, because it's not doing me any good. I'd rather come in and just like do my work and go home and be in peace with myself. And gossip it's not very good. And I can remember there's a friend of mine who was going through a lot of troubles in her life. And she kept ringing me and wanting to talk to somebody. And yes, there's only so much advice you can give. But even with advice, I don't like to give a lot of people advice, because sometimes that advice is right for me, but it may not be right for you. So I don't want them to take on my advice as either, that whatever I'm saying is right, because I don't really know their situation. And so I try not to get involved too much. I'll guide them, but at the end they say, look, it's up to you. Because I was put in a scenario a few years ago, when one of my friends was having problems, marriage problems, and she's asking me what I should do, what she should do. And she, one of the questions she's asked me is that, should I leave my husband? And that's my point, where I said to her, I don't think you should call me and ask me these kind of questions, because you are the one who knows all the answers and what you want and what you need to going forward. So I said that this is where I had to draw a line. You have to draw a line when it comes to gossip and talking, because one, it drains your energy. And the vampires, I've had these vampires, you know, that zap your energy as well, because they're really just takers. And the takers, if you really think about it, they're the ones that actually have a lot of insecurity. When you're full and you're happy, you will find you will attract all the vampires, the energy vampires will always come and want to come and take a piece of you. It's fine. Let them have what they want. But at the end of the day, you've got to refill that little gap they've just taken, because you know what? They're going to keep coming for more. When they come for more, this is where you draw the line. This, because there's only so much you can give to anybody. And I would just draw a line and keep my distance, which we call detach. So detach yourself slowly by slowly from individual you feel is going to drain your energy when they talk to you. And I've been there many times that you talk to them and you've gone away and you feel absolutely exhausted. So for me, I would detach myself, not cut away from them completely, but just give them little dosages if you need to. But at the end of the day, you've got to consume your own energy, because that's where everything stems from. Everything in your life actually stems from you first before anybody else comes into your life. Which hence takes me to my next one on the list, which is called stress. Now, everyone's working, even I've been working, and stress, when you talk about stress, stress for me is telling me that when I'm not thinking right, or I'm inundated with a lot of work at work, or I've been thrown something at last minute and I'm absolutely stressed out, that's telling me there's something wrong with me. And I need to deal with it and I need to do something about it. So stress is actually coming to you as an indicator that there's something wrong and you need to stop. You need to stop and look at the whole situation as to why you're feeling stressed. Is it because you've taken on too much when you could have said no to somebody? Is it something that, you know, or are you a people pleaser? Sometimes we're people pleasers and we take on so much that we find that you actually become very under a lot of pressure, that, you know, you're trying to please everybody. Hence the reason it leads you to a lot of stress, because you've got so much on your plate. It's that, how do you balance everything? And which I'll give you, which hence takes me to stress, which takes me to dependency, the next one. So stress actually comes and tells you, you need to stop and look at yourself, where you're going wrong. You know, why are you feeling exhausted when you've taken on so much work? Maybe you need to stop and say, what is the one, how basically just prioritize. You know, you can't do everything in one go. Prioritize. Sometimes you have to be honest and say you can't do it, you know, and, you know, and that's just being honest with yourself. Sometimes your own body is telling you that, you know, well, you know, you need to slow down now. You've taken on too much. And, you know, and it's that point that you need to really, really look at yourself. And I've been in that situation where I've got myself in trouble because of taking on so much, and it's made me ill. And it's not a really good thing. And I think sometimes it's not even worth it. And this is where I should go and speak to my manager at that time and say, look, I've got a lot on. You know, to give me either give me some extra time, or you need to find somebody who can actually look at this work at the same time, or give me help. There's nothing wrong in asking for help, and you need to do that. It's for your own insanity, which leads me to the next one, which is called dependency. Dependency, I fell in that category about 14 years ago when I was divorced. Because when you're married, you always got someone else that you can depend on, that, you know, if anything goes wrong, you always got someone to fall on. And I find that dependency is also like a negative trait as well, because that means that you, whatever you've got internally, you know, you're kind of, how would I say, easy. You know, you're not thinking about yourself or how to rebuild yourself internally, because you're always constantly thinking, oh, it doesn't matter. So-and-so will do it. So-and-so will do it. So-and-so will do it. And you're always like leaning on somebody to do something for you. And when that point comes, that dependency is taken away, that's when you get the full blow that, you know, how do you cope? Hence the reason that's happened when I bought my house and I was living on my own. And my daughter at that time was only 8 years old. And I'm just thinking that, you know, I haven't got anyone to depend on. I'm on my own and I've got a child. The child is depending on me to give her that loving upbringing. So really, I played a role of a father and a mother to her and brought her up. And I had to learn to defend for myself and not be so dependent on anything apart from myself and my inner faith. That's the only thing I was depending on, is my faith to keep on going. And hence the reason, because of that, it led me to become very independent, that now that I was able to learn, because I was thrown in the deep end, I learned so much out of life that, you know, had that coping mechanism to run a house, look after my child, and give her that loving and upbringing and that stability in life. And it's just about faith, having faith in yourself, which kind of helped me. Which leads to my second, the last one on the list, is anger. You know, who isn't angry? Yeah. And if you put a D in front of anger, it leads to danger, which it is. It's dangerous. Anger is very dangerous. And recently, only a couple of days ago, to be honest, I met one of my friends. And she was just saying to me about, she's got a daughter as well. Sorry, son and daughter. And she was saying that to me. I shouted at my son and I go, okay. And she goes, but I wasn't happy, but I got really, really angry with him. And I go, okay. And she goes, but I didn't like it. I go, okay, so what did you do? She goes, yeah, but how do I stop myself from getting angry? I go, okay, the same way you decided to get angry. That's how you do it. I said, something triggered in your mind to get angry, right? And she goes, yes, it did. And I said, well, that means you can undo that by thinking next time that you have this thought, you're going to get angry, stop. And think about why are you getting angry? I'm not saying I'm perfect. Even I sometimes, you know, get annoyed with my daughter when her bedroom is really messy and I'm constantly saying, clean your bedroom. And she gets annoyed with me and she goes, I will do it. And, you know, the only time I get annoyed is when they say they'll do it and it's been 5 days later and they're still not done it. And I go in the room and it's a mess. And that's the only time I think I just get annoyed. But then I've learned to deal with that now. And I just say that, okay, the more you keep saying to somebody, keep on doing it, in reality, you're actually creating that yourself, the anger. The more you're thinking about what someone's not done for you, you're getting angrier. The longer they don't do something for you, you get angry. And I think for me, that's called expectations. I'm expecting her to clean the room as soon as I say it, but because she hadn't done it, I got annoyed. And there's no need for me to get annoyed, because really, in reality, anger damages us first before it damages them. And it damages relationships. And I've seen it, you know, in front of my eyes, that, you know, what damage it does to people. You know, they say that, someone's tongue is sharper than a knife. That, you know, if they stab you with their tongue, you know, they say these horrible words that, you know, sit in your system for nearly 6 months before it kind of like eases off. With a knife, you cut somebody, a sharp knife, you know, eventually it start healing and you're not going to feel that pain. But yeah, when you someone's hurt you through anger, the words that come out, because when you're angry, you're not in control. That means you've lost control, and you'll find that you'll start saying a lot of horrible things, nasty things, hurtful things, and you've not only damaged yourself, but you've actually damaged the other person. You're actually depleting their energy as well, because that means they're not thinking good about yourself. Hence, they're going to hate you. And, you know, you don't want that. And that's something I'm still working on, because I'm not perfect. Anger, it's just one of those things. And everyone will eventually, you know, I'm working on it, put full stop. And I'm a lot calmer now than I was many, many years ago, which takes me on to my next slide. Let's look at this. Okay, there's a question is, how did I overcome my inner critical voice? Was it just saying to it no? Okay, the inner critical voice is really all about negative thoughts, the thoughts about yourself. And the way I've got rid of my inner critical voice, the way I deal with it is, one, I'm not... The critical inner voice is all the negativity that you're bringing out inside yourself. You're always talking negative, but in reality, there's nothing wrong with you. The only time that there's only something you find that something wrong with is when you talk about yourself in a bad way. You know, and I give an example of someone was really nasty to me at once, and I didn't really understand. And this was a person who didn't even have children. And she was actually looking at me and criticizing the way I was bringing my daughter. And after that, it was such a horrible way that I was told that I'm not bringing up my daughter in the right way. Firstly, they don't live with me. Secondly, they don't know me. Thirdly, they don't know my daughter. They've not spoken to me properly, or they hadn't even spoken to my daughter, probably got to know us. So that is one of the things that I would recommend you do is, whatever anybody says anything about you, they do not know you. The only person who knows you more than anyone is yourself. What you're capable of and what you're not capable of. What others see outside you is their perception of you. But in reality, you're the one who knows you more than anything. And, you know, in reality, there is nothing wrong with you, okay? The only time you feel there's something wrong with you is because we allow other people's negative thoughts and their speaking, external influences, we've allowed that in, and we've accepted whatever they've said to you, anything critical, we've taken it on board, and we've actually accepted it and said, yes, do you know what? You're right. But in reality, they're not right, because they don't know you. Only you know yourself more than anyone, and there is nothing wrong with you. And that's what I've learned. If you find there's something wrong with you, only you will know, because you know why? Because your conscious bites. When you've done something wrong, your conscious bites, and that is a sign to say there's something wrong. So you correct it. If you've done something wrong outside or to anybody and they say something and you know you've done it, apologize. Okay, you've done it, but you will not make that same mistake again. My inner critical voice is, I want to become who I want to become. You know, and you can become anything you want to if you put your mind to it. When I bought this house and I became a single mum, one of the things like I said earlier, I love traveling. And that is one of the things I know I was going to continue doing. And you know what? I wanted my daughter to come and join me in my journeys in life. And you know one thing she said to me? More than anything, I don't care about presents or anything, is the memories I'm going to have with you. Hence the reason I said, right, you know what? We're going to continue whatever we had before the divorce or anything. We're going to have a house. We're going to have our holidays. And we are going to enjoy our time here together. And this is what I did. And I gave my time to my daughter, and I gave her that stability and made sure she had everything. And for me, that was my priority, to make sure my daughter had that loving stability and a loving home to come to every day. Hence, that was my main aim in life, just to give what I could to her as a parent. which leads me to my next slide, if it allows me. Okay. One of the things I'm going to be honest with you here now. Okay, I actually became redundant. I lost my job, by the way. I lost my job. I was made redundant. And it's not a bad thing. It's actually a very good thing for me. And a lot of people like fear and like what's going to happen to them. They've got no jobs and they've got a house and everything. And for some reason, I wasn't worried. I don't know why. You know, I wasn't worried. I worked for this company for 31 years and they said that, you know, by a certain time you're going to be out of a job. For some reason, it didn't bother. It wasn't something that I was fearing or anything, because something inside was telling me this is my chance to actually do something with my life that I really, really want. You know, when you're working, you're kind of limited to the time and what you can do. And this sometimes actually opens something in me and say, wow, you know, I'm going to be out of a job. So that means I can really make the most of the time I've been given now to do really anything I want to, because I've got the time to do it. So I actually thought about these things. Don't live a life of regrets. So when I was told that I was losing my job, I actually started making a list of all the things that I can do in my time while I've got it. You know, because when you're working, you've got to wait till your holidays, you know, you get your full days and you're like planning your holidays for the rest of the year. I said, wow, I can do what I want. This is my time to do anything. So this is what I did. I started planning. I made a list of all the things I want to do. And the biggest thing I bought a bike 9 years ago for me and my daughter, and it was sitting in the shed. And not once, I think I rode it in about two or three times in 9 years. And I, you know, when I found it was nice, hot, sunny weather, I said, right, it's time for me to get that bike out. So that was one of the things I've got ticked off on my list. Unfortunately, I couldn't go traveling because of the lockdown and the flight restrictions and everything. And I thought, well, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't stop me from living. So I started making a list of places that we can actually visit in England. So only a few weeks ago, we went down to Duddledore, which is in Dorset, for 4 or 5 days. And driving down there, just me and my daughter, like it's like an adventure, you know. And we were driving down and it was, you know, we weren't really sure of our routes. And, you know, that's what I really like, that adventure, just to from A to B, how you get there. And I loved it. And we were traveling around there in the car and everything. And it was such a nice feeling. So for me, I don't want to live my life that I've not been able to do the things I wanted to. And then, you know, and it's my time to go. And I look back at my life and think, you know, I wish I did this and I wish I did that. You know, whatever I think you need to do, just do it. Because life is just too short for me, and you've got this time, you've got your health, enjoy it and do it. Hence the reason takes me to my next one, which is called Take Charge of Yourself. And this for me plays a big part, that if you're not in charge of yourself, that means you're giving your remote to control to every single person out there. And you know what? They're controlling your life. And I've been in that situation that, you know, I allowed others to manipulate me, talk me into things I really want to do. And even though I'm doing it, I know I'm not happy inside. And hence the reason, when you're not happy, it actually shows externally on your face. And I was like that. And they said that you don't look yourself. And that is because I've allowed every single thing outside externally to take over my life. And it was actually controlling me. So I lost control of what I wanted and who I wanted to be. So for me, is take charge of who you are and what you want to be. Because at the end of the day, like I said earlier, no one knows you better than you do. So you take control of what you want, your thoughts and the way you speak and where you went, how you want to be with yourself. And you're going to find that when you take charge of yourself, you know, you can pretty much do anything. You know, you can say no to, so if you're not happy about something, you should be in charge of yourself to say, no, I don't want to do it. Because if it's not right for you, if you don't feel right about it, don't do it. Stop wasting your time on things that doesn't matter to you. Or don't take on board because just to please somebody. If you don't, if you've not got time, stop it. The other thing is, we said we will conquer fears and attachments. We conquer our fears. You know, I've had a fear, I think like about 4 or 5 years ago, and I've never ever done this before, like even like these talks, I've never done them before. And it was a Christmas and I was told to be an MC, and there were 300 people. And you can imagine, I've never ever done that before. And all of a sudden I was thrown in the deep end and I said, go and do the MC. When I was asked to be the MC, I thought, do you know what? I'm going to do this because I want to come out of my comfort zone, really, to be honest. I wanted to come out of my comfort zone and do something new and put something in me, you know, build up my confidence. And I thought, I need to conquer that fear. So I just went ahead and did it. I looked at the audience and there's about 200-300 people sitting in front of me, and it's Christmas. And I had to be a bit of a clown, to be honest, because it is Christmas and it's for children, so I had to play a bit of a clown. So I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to close my eyes, just go out there and just do it. And I did it. And you know what is one of the best things I've ever done? Once you've done it once, you've not done it twice, you've conquered your fear. And that is one thing that you can tick off your list that you've done. I know there's many fears that come on, but you know, like this, there's a saying, say, feel the fear and do it anyway, because that's the only way you're going to go ahead and do it. And like I was telling about my life. The other thing is, beware of your thoughts. It's like your critical inner voice. Your thoughts play a big part in your life and what type of thoughts that you're having. The two major ones I can talk to you about right now is negative thoughts. I had a class where I asked everybody, can you give me 5 negative things about you? It was so easy for them to come up with 5 different negative thoughts about themselves. Yet when I said, can you say anything positive about yourself? Everyone kind of had to, there was a big pause, and everyone had to kind of think about this one, that it just proves that we have, how much negative we tend to think about ourselves. And what about the positives? Really, a reality, there's, like I said to you earlier, there's nothing wrong with us at all. You know, the only time we tend to think negative about ourselves is when we don't love ourselves enough, because we're too busy loving everybody else out there, but we've forgotten about ourselves. Like I said to you earlier, everything in life stems from you before anybody else. How you are with yourself, you're going to be like that with others. If you think negatively, you're going to start talking negative to others. The moment you start thinking positive about yourself, bringing a lot of goodness in your life, start having happy thoughts about yourself, just being happy, you will start attracting those kind of individuals back into your life. Hence the reason it gives you a boosting and it gives them a boosting. And you'll find that your friend circle will be such a happy one that, you know, everyone's like sending off each other happy energy. And I've been there and I love it. The moment you start thinking negative about yourself and you're throwing that out there, you're only going to attract more negativity. Hence the reason the word karma comes in. I'm not going to go too deep into this topic. Every thought is so powerful. What you're sending out only reaches them. Not only that, as a boomerang, it comes back to you. And then you're going to wonder why things are happening the way I are. If you put a full stop to your negative thinking and start thinking positive, you will start bringing a lot of goodness in your life. Hence the reason your energy will start boosting. Because not only are you boosting your energy, others around you who are happy are also boosting you, because you know why? They've always got something nice to say to you. Whereas someone negative, they're just going to continually deplete you. And I've had that, I've been in that company where they influenced you or manipulated you to start saying bad things. And you walk away and you think, you know what, that isn't me. And I don't like what I just done. And once I know that someone's like that, as I will become loving and detached. So I would not ignore them completely, but I'd be very careful of the energy I have, and I'm going to protect it, because that energy that I have, I need it for myself. I don't want someone taking it away from me. I've got to continue keeping it with me. And hence the reason, which takes me to the next one, which is keep a balance in my life. I'll give you an example. I was just thinking about this today, that I don't know how I did it. When I was when I was working, and Alicia is my daughter, and that's her name, Alicia, and she was going to school, which was about 20 minutes away from where I used to live, where I live, and it's not by walking, it's by car. And the only way I can do the school run, this is all the mothers out there who's probably done the school run. Sometimes it can be tough trying to get there on time, especially when you're working. And I was working full time. And the only way I can go and pick my daughter up is by saying to my manager that I need to have my hour lunchtime change, hour change, to so I can go and pick my daughter up from school and drop her home. And I did that for 8 years. And I'm just thinking, I don't know how I did it, because in that hour, I had 20 minutes to drive to her school, pick her up, 20 minutes to get to my house, drop her off, quickly give her something to eat, and go back to work because I had my lunch at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because that's when the school's finished. So I used to do that mad dash within an hour. And I did that for 8 years. And I don't even know what a lunch break was, to be honest, because I never had one for 8 years. And I'm just thinking today that how did I do that to keep everything in a balance? And I'm thinking about it. And you know how I did it is because I didn't give it a thought. It's something in my mind that I knew I had to do. I didn't find it a chore, but I know I had to do it. And I just did it. I wasn't churning on like, I have to get there, I have to do that, I do that. Okay, this was my duty. This was my responsibility, and this is what I need to do. I don't give it a thought. I just get on and do it. The only time you deplete your energy and you start becoming stressed or really tired is when you give something when you continue thinking about it. Sometimes that you have to go somewhere and you're thinking about, it's going to take me 2 hours to get there. And, you don't like driving. So you're constantly thinking, I don't want to drive there. I don't want to drive there. But even before you got into the car, you already tired yourself out because you're already churning that, I don't want to drive. But with me, the way I've conquered it is, if you've got to do something, don't think, just do it. Just do it and enjoy it. And that's how I've become that, if I want to do something, just do it. Don't think twice about it, because if you think of it as a chore, then you're just going to really tire yourself out, because internally you're not happy. And that's how I overcame like keeping the balance in my life, is not to give anything too much thought to it. It's something I have to do, my work, my home, spending time with Alicia and giving her that home. I didn't give it too much thought, and for me, I enjoyed it. And to see where I was there and to see myself now, and I'm just looking back, how did I do it? And it just happens, and that's how I overcome that balance in my life, is by not giving everything so much thought or attention, just do it. And you find that you start becoming easier with yourself. And this is how I was saying to Ardi, when I go on our trips, sometimes I'll just get up in the morning and it's a nice sunny day like today, and not on a weekday, but on a weekend. And if I'm free, I'll say to my daughter, right, get ready, we're going somewhere. And I'll Google a place and we'll just shoot off. And I'm not giving it a thought because I know that I'm going to be happy doing it. Or, you know, if I have to go somewhere and I know I'm not going to like it, I'm thinking, well, you know, if I keep thinking about it, you know, I'm just going to really ruin the day for myself. And I just, well, do you know what? Whatever it is, just enjoy as much as you can. So that's my life anyway, how I keep the balance in my life is not to give it too much thought, just do it and enjoy it. Which leads to my next slide, if I can get there. Okay, it works. Okay, here we are. This is my last slide I'm going to think about is talk to you today is about the inner you. This is something I've been actually focusing on myself, especially with the lockdown. It's given me a lot of time to reflect on myself while I've been at home. So I've taken some time out from work now, and I've been looking at the word gratitude. And the reason I've been looking at this word gratitude is because I'm looking at my life right now, and I look at everything I have in life, and I'm just thinking, not once have I said thank you. You know, that, you know, just simple things like a home, just to say thank you that I've got a home, or say thank you for the beautiful furnishings I have in my house. Thank you for the car, or thank you for the lovely garden, the greenery I have, just not myself, just by everything outside. You know, the beauty that we have outside, you know, and it's when you say this word gratitude, when you say the word thank you, it has such a lovely feeling behind it that, you know, when I go out for a walk sometimes on my own, when Liz is at home working, I'll just go with my headphones and I'll be playing some music and I'm walking around the greenery and I'm away in my own little world for 2 hours and I'm thinking and I'm admiring all the beautiful nature around me and I'm just thinking, look how beautiful it is and look how beauty it's giving to us. You know, where would we be without all this nature and all the things that have been provided with us? And I think the more we say thank you, the more better you start feeling within yourself. And it's this is why I call it the inner you, because it's bringing a lot of happiness. More you say thank you, the more things will come to you. And that's why I think it plays a big part, the word gratitude. Self-reflection is another key word that I've been working on. Sorry, I'm just making a note of this time. Okay. Self-reflection. This is something I have really, really been doing with myself while I've been off work. Reflecting on myself that, you know, where do I want to be? You know, where do I want to improve in, you know, just not just externally, material things or anything like that. What I want is what do I want within myself? How do I improve myself? You know, where do I want to take my next step in life? And, you know, I'm looking at myself that, you know, where am I going wrong with my thinking? How can I improve myself? You know, because everything I'm doing with myself has an impact with everybody around me, especially my daughter, you know, and I, you know, she's going to see me as a role model. And, you know, and I need to live up to that her expectations that, you know, I can do whatever I need to, but in the right manner. And this is when I'm having self-reflection, I'm actually looking at all the defects in myself that I can try and fix. And this is my time to actually do it. Because when you're working and you're all surrounded by different people, the energies that come towards you, sometimes you can't differentiate right, which is good and which isn't bad. But when you're left on your own and you're looking at yourself internally, you'll find that there's certain things about you don't like and you want to change. And also reflection is about your past things that you may have done wrong, that you may want to correct, that, you know, this is your opportunity to start correcting. And this is something I think is very, very important for all of us to do, is to have time out Even like 10, 15 minutes in the morning, just to look at, observe what's going on internally inside you. And this is what I really, really like doing for myself, is just having this self-reflection time in the morning. Say, how am I feeling? You know, if I'm feeling sad, then, you know, why am I feeling sad? Let's look at this. Why am I feeling sad? Is it something someone said, or is it I've just gone from the wrong side of the bed? So what can I do to improve my day? So if I'm sad in the morning, I don't want the rest of my day looking, I'm not going to feel sad the rest of my day. Hence the reason I will play music, a favorite song of mine, or I will just go out for a walk. Sometimes when I'm walking outside and I see someone and I say, good morning, and, you know, they give you that smile and it's already changed your mood. And I love that. That's why I love my walking, is because I just love meeting new people as I go along. My other question that which leads me is to become a server. When I say a server is like sometimes doing good for others, hence the reason I'm a volunteer. When you volunteer to do something, it kind of gives you this boosting that you're actually doing not something for yourself, but actually doing something for somebody else outside. It could be a volunteer just to like sit there and listen to someone talking, or someone who's just go out and they do some like an errand or something, you know, just to do something good for someone and become a volunteer. And I was talking to, because I'm a volunteer myself where I am, you know, at the university. And I love it because when you're giving these kind of talks, you know, and you're even like a one word or even like that, or listening to somebody speak, you know, they're giving you something and you've taken something that resonates with you and you think, wow, you know what, I needed that. So sometimes becoming a server is not just being about volunteer, but just even outside, you could be saying something nice to somebody and you've made them feel good. So that plays a very good part in life, just to be a volunteer of something. And it does you a world of good just to give something back to the society. Which leads to my next word, which is kindness. And funny enough, one of my neighbors where I live, I was walking, going out for a walk and she stopped me. And she was saying that, she goes, kindness, she goes, it's not something you have to pay for. I said, no, it's not. And she goes, then why is it that, you know, why can't people just be kind to each other? And I said, that's where life is. That's how life is. Not everybody knows what the meaning of kindness is. And she was just saying that, you know, you were walking along and, you know, you meet people and, you know, how long, you know, does it cost anything just to give them a smile or just say good morning? And I said, no, it doesn't. And I said, it'd be amazing that just to some kind of act of good kindness does a world of good for anybody, you know, just to like help someone, you know, it does a world of good. Which leads to my next one, which is company you keep. Let me just go back in. Right. Okay, yeah. The other one is company you keep. Like I said, really in theory, the people you hang around with has a big impact on your life. And I just say, be careful of the company you keep, because there's the vampires out there. If you know who they are, start detaching yourself slightly. Don't leave them, but just be as loving as possible. And regards to thoughts earlier on, I've been through that. I've mentioned that earlier about the critical inner voice. Start changing the way you program your mind now. Start any negative that comes in, you don't feel good about yourself, find something that is good, or even make a list of all the good things in that's all good, all the goodness that you're happy about, and all the bad things that you're not happy about, and look at the list and see what you can change, which leads to transformation and setting goals. Set yourself goals, like, you know, where do you want to be? If you're dealing with, if you've got anger problems, so you want to become peaceful. So start working on the word peace and start becoming peace rather than anger. So start changing and start feeling what peace means to you and start experiencing what peace is, which leads to my last thing, which is meditation. And I'm gonna, meditation, as you can, some of you have already heard, is a big thing at the moment. Even doctors recommend it now, that, you know, they don't wanna give any pills out. They send you to go and do some meditation, so they recommend it because it's a medication. And for me, meditation has played a big part in my life. I still do it after 20 years. And it's changed my life completely because it helps you to change your thoughts. It changes your journey in life. It gives you clarity. It cleanses you internally. It gives you clarity of what's right and wrong for you. And for me, meditation is a big thing for me. And it's something I highly, highly recommend. And it's something I would recommend for you to do first thing in the morning before you even do anything, pick up the phone or anything. Meditation is one thing I would highly, highly recommend to you to do. And I'm going to leave it with that. And Aarti Ben, I think we're for time. Is that correct?
We are. We're well over time. So
I do apologize.
So I'm just going to invite you to do a quick 2-minute, 3-minute meditation.
And most definitely.
Make announcements. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, can everyone still hear me? Aarti Ben, can you hear me?
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you very much. Okay, I'm going to run through the commentary. If everyone can sit quietly with your feet firmly on the floor, shoulders relaxed. I'd like you to take 3 deep breaths, breathing through your nose and releasing through your mouth. Relax. Relax. Breathing slowly. And relax. Let your shoulders go. Loosen the tension. Taking your attention to the center of the forehead. And disconnecting from everything around you. Focusing on the center of the forehead, I ask myself, who am I? I am the creator of my thoughts, my feelings, and behavior. As I look deeper, and I connect with the inner being, I can see the thoughts are running here, there, and everywhere. I acknowledge these thoughts and I let them pass. I only hold on to one thought, the thought of peace. I hold on to peace in my mind, and my thoughts become calm. Peace is who I am. Peace is natural and who I want to be. Through this state of mind, I am able to send out vibrations of peace to all my friends, family, and relations, and everyone around the world. Peace is who I am, and peace allows me to embrace happy changes in every aspect of my life. I am peace, and peace is who I am. Thank you.